This is a continuation of the January 10th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We're reviewing two parcels together. First is case 180 for property ID 110085700, and the second is case 181 for property ID 110085710. The properties are both owned by Dale E. Anderson and Lita L. Anderson, and it's under trustees. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have Mary Howells and Ben Ransnett present as the representatives for the assessor's office, and we have Wayne Tenenbaum present as the representative for the appellant over the phone. We also have Carrie Dudley as a spectator today. So I'll go ahead and hand it over.
Okay. All right. It is a used car dealership with a small building on it. You can see the cover picture where it says used cars. On page number two, I believe the value, and again, we can talk about it, why it was increased or what happened, but it looks like there was a high percentage increase for this year. Value $756,741 or $512 a square foot. We have a cost approach that gives us a value of $351.77 or $519,911. Page number three, some information about these two parcels together. It was built 2001. The building is only 1,478 square feet and 1.02 acres of land. The land's valued at $1,320 by the county per square foot. The improvements are valued at $115.17 by the county. The total value of $512 square foot by Clark County. The following page, page four, is the two parcels separated. It is an economic unit, but this is so the board is aware of what each parcel's value is by the county and a breakdown of land and improvement for those parcels. The following page is generally where the subject is located. We have an aerial to show you how these parcels are essentially one economic unit. There's one large parcel, then there's a small square one, altogether housing all of the cars that are for sale, client cars, workers, etc. There is some more pictures of the subject, again, showing you what a very basic, and we consider it like an office-type building because that's what it essentially equates to when you walk in there. You're just basically signing papers for the car, etc. All of the cars are on the lot itself. So that's why on our page number, what is this? I believe page number 12, we just give a breakdown as an office building. So in 2001, at C, we did low cost because this is obviously an inferior type construction quality design to a typical office building. So we gave C low cost at $97 a square foot, included the current cost multiplier, local multiplier, about 25% depreciation, adding in other factors such as, let's just see here. We got a total value of $118,277 on improvements. The county's value is about $170,000, I believe. So we're about $50,000 or so lower on improvements. And then we also have a lower land. And the lower land value is based on our land comparables, which are actually all the way on page 18, I believe. And on page 18, you'll notice that we have basically it's 18 and 19 pages because I think we have five land sales, and the fifth land sale is on a different page. But of those land sales, again, we're on for $1,320 a square foot by the county, and then the land sales 1 through 4 range before any adjustments range from about $596 a square foot up to $1,070 a square foot. There are some minor adjustments for size, but really not much of an adjustment here. These were quite similar. Some are a little larger. One's a little smaller than the subject, but similar in size. And then on page 20, we give you where the subject is located in the comparables. And then starting on page 21 is a full CoStar printout of all these similar commercial land sales given that support a lower value. So based on lower improvements and lower land, value and an overall lower cost approach for the subject value. And that completes our presentation.
You really don't know? Thank you. Okay, so my turn. All right. So the subject property, we've kind of been over the description. Our first discrepancy is that the building itself is actually 1,680 square feet. So 202 square feet larger than Mr. Tannenbaum has it. And at the risk of boring you guys to death, yes, there were three of us out on that one too. So we quantified everything there. We did note that there's an attached, you'll see it in the photographs, a 420 square foot of covered porch in on that property too, though we do not include that in our cost approach. We could, but it's an equity issue with the assessor's office, so we do not. We're just letting you know it's there. And combining the two, my two reports together really won't make a difference. We're using the same dollar per square foot on the land, same comparables. So it we'll just talk about my main report and not the land that goes with it. If you look at A3, there's our exterior photos. A4 is interior photos of the office areas and essentially that whole little modular office. We took a few snapshots so you could see what it looks like. I will skip all of the highest and best use and go on to page A10, which are the land comparables. We have five comparables that we've provided. They range in size from 0.36 acres to 0.67 acres, and they range in sales price from a low of $13.75 a square foot to a high of $56.88 a square foot. So we're mostly leaning right in that mid-$20 square foot range. The subject we are assessing at $13.20 per square foot on the land. All five sales strongly support the assessed value of the $13.20 for the land on this parcel. Page A12 will show you the first maps of our comparables, and you'll see where the subject is. It is highlighted in blue. Our second parcel would be the continuous little square in the northeast corner that you can see on the map, but it's not highlighted because I did two different reports. Comparable number one is less than a mile on the same road. And that then the second one is up north of Van Mall Drive. A13 will show you that we've got comparables number two and number four that are actually have fourth plane exposure like the subject does. And our last comparable is up north off of 119th Street. Page A14, again, is the same template that I use about the refinements and explaining the multipliers in Marshall and Swift and why each one are important. We won't go over that again. Page 15 is our cost breakdown. And we do recognize that this is not your typical office building. This is a prefabricated modular office building, so we use a prefab cost per square foot. Again, I'll tell you the square footage is 1,680, not 1,478. The perimeter is in there. Our base unit price, Mr. Tannenbaum talked about it, our base unit price is $93 a square foot. Mr. Tannenbaum is using $97 a square foot. And I think the difference is that he has qualified this building as a Class C, and this building is actually a Class D building. The difference being C would be a concrete exterior wall. A D building is made of wood, like a typical residence. So we would correct that the class is a D. We both agree that it's a low quality building, and that's how we have quantified it. I will not go through the rest of the prefab math for you, but you can see it all in there and how we derived our final value. The only other real difference in there is that Mr. Tannenbaum uses a 45-year expected life, and we use a 35-year expected life because it's a prefab building. We don't think it's going to be economically viable as long as he does. Mr. Tannenbaum left out the 31,900 square feet of asphalt that is on the property. That's what all those cars are parked on. So we have brought that forward and used the correct multiplier on that. That adds approximately another 175. So the discrepancy between our value and Mr. Tannenbaum's cost value is really lays in the wrong square footage and not using a few of the multipliers. But most of the stuff we agree on with this improvement. You have to account for the asphalt and things like that. Okay, so I pointed out those differences. What else? We did not do anything except a cost approach on this building. So that's what you have for me is the land supports and the cost on the building.
Okay.
I'll do my quick rebuttal. I'll try to make it as fast as possible, and then Wayne can have the last of our speaking today. So the appellant's land sale number one, according to CoStar, it's sloping and has considerable amounts of low wetland. It is below the surface elevation of the road, making it truly inferior, comparable for the land. Land sale number two is 0.27 acres in size and has a bioswale retention pond of 0.25 acres on it, leaving 0.02 acres for, I don't know, or 0.52 acres, I'm sorry. Exposure's no good. There's a big box there, and this one's off in Hazeldale Highway 99. Land sale number three is inferior in exposure, and again, up in Highway 99 with no frontage. Land sale number four finally sold after a price drop. It was on the market for quite a long time, but it's got a very irregular shape. And it flanks I-5 with existing properties, so it has really limited utility. And land sale number five, again, up in Hazeldale Avenue, it has an inferior utility and exposure, and ingress and egress is only off of Hazeldale Avenue. That subject sold with an older residence on it and will have demolition costs. That's it for me.
Okay.
Hey, Mr. Tannenbaum.
We have nothing further.
Okay.
Is that all we have?
This is the January 10th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have the hearing before us involves petition number 155 for property ID 731-39022. The property is owned by Clary Union Gap, LLC. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Wayne Tannenbaum present over the phone for the appellant as their representative. And so at this time, I know we can't see you, Wayne, but go ahead and raise your right hand and we'll get you sworn in.
All right. Do you swear or affirm affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
You're going to be here all day?
For these cases, I don't think it would take all day, but yeah.
No, no, I mean, for all of the sessions today.
Yes, that's right.
So I'm going to tell you this for all day, then, so I don't have to repeat it. We're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your properties as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the perception of, has the...
perception of correctness.
Perception of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as to the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain this appeal.
All right. And you have our evidence packet, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. This one's fairly straightforward. It's... you know, just a land parcel, essentially, that's being used as overflow or essentially just parking. As you can notice on our page 3, actually looks like page 2, but it says page 3, is our value summary where it looks like the value of this parcel by the county is $524,590 for $21.12 a square foot. We have land sales to us that support a value closer to $11.09 a square foot, for $275,509. Page number 3, some information about the property, which actually says page 4. The subject is 0.57 of 1 acre, so a little over half an acre. Again, valued by the county at $21.12. Essentially, our information below, it's a vacant parcel, and we're using land sales to support the lower value. The following pages, page 5 is an aerial, and page 6, until we get to overall view on page 7. But the most important information that is page 8, which is our land sales, page 8 and 9. So page 8 and 9, you'll notice that we have 6 land sales. These land sales on page number 8 sold in 2021. The value date is 1/1/22, so they're within the year evaluation. In fact, all the land sales, our land sale 5 and 6, sold in year 2021, but we still increased it for time adjustment upwards 2% a month because values have been going up in general. So even with the adjustments upward for time and some minor adjustments for size, in comparison, all of the land sales sold for less than the subject quite a bit, and also even after adjustments. You can see that even before any type of subjective adjustment, the subject was on for $21.12 a square foot, where the other comparables are, which I would say land sale 3 and 4 are more similar in size to the subject. Those sold for $12.75 a square foot and $11.75 a square foot. And also our land sale 6, which is 1.18 acres, close to the subject size, sold for $10.70. These land sales, all of them, are given on page 10.
Let me stop you a minute. The information you're giving me is not the same information I've got in front of me.
No.
Well, that's strange. Is this, do I have the right parcel? Is this parcel 73139022?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
Dan, really quick, it sounds like Mary is covering this one as well, so they would like to be admitted.
Well, I mean, he's reading information that's not in the thing that I have. I mean, why do we have a different?
It should be the one for Clary Union.
Well, the stuff he's reading is... I mean, here, this one only has 4 comps.
Well, there's 2 on the back of the page, 5 and 6.
Oh, yeah, some of them are split. Yeah.
Not mine. It's not on mine.
You don't have 5 and 6?
I have I have four comps.
Okay. I can pull it up.
No, maybe here it is. I got it. Okay.
Okay. So what would you like to do as far as the appraisers?
If they're wanting to be in here, I guess let them in if they're ready to go.
Okay. How about that? Can you guys hear us?
Yay!
Okay, fantastic.
All right, I'm
going to
get out of here.
Turn your sound up a little bit.
Now turn your sound up. You're very, very quiet.
They may just need to lean in when they speak.
Can you hear me now?
A little better, but it's still super, super quiet.
There is a volume
Dan, would you like me to continue this recording, or do we want to do it again?
I'm not going to repeat. I don't need to repeat all my testimony. That would be unfair.
Okay, I'll go ahead and have them swear in mid, and then I'll put in the notes a timestamp of when they swear in.
And Wayne, you object to starting over again?
No.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I mean, it's just a land case anyway. Basically, we were finished. We had the full land comps pronounced, given to you from CoStar, and that was going to be the wrap of our testimony anyway.
And I think they've got the information, don't they?
Yes, yeah. They would have a copy.
Yeah.
All right, let me swear them in. And
okay, so I'm timestamping that we had the appraisers join at 8 minutes in. And then just to give a quick read-through for Mary Howells and Ben Ranson at the representatives of the appraiser's office. This is the January 10th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Hearing before us is case 155 for property ID 731-39022. The property is owned by Clary Union Gap, LLC. The board members present for the hearing by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have Mary Howells and Ben Ransonet for the assessor's office, and Wayne Tenenbaum present over the phone as the representative for the appellant. Wayne has already been sworn in, and so Mary and Ben, whoever will be speaking, please go ahead and raise your right hand to be sworn in.
I want to make sure, Michelle, we also have an appraiser, Carrie Dudley, with us. She won't.
It cut out really badly. Could you lean in as close as you can?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I can't hear you. So.
Why don't they just get on the phone? No phone?
Mary, we can hear that you're talking, but it's we're not getting it at all.
Going to use somebody's cell phone?
Hold on.
Barely.
How about now?
Oh, much better. Yeah, there we go.
Okay. Is this good?
Perfect.
Yes, yes. So we have Ben Ransonet and Mary Howells, and then you were saying Carrie Dudley.
Carrie Dudley is sitting in the room with us, but she will not be testifying today. She's just never been to a BOE hearing and would like to see what they're like.
Okay. So Did we swear you folks in, or do we still need to quickly do that?
Ben and I need to swear in.
Okay. Raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you gave in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
I do.
Thank you. All right, Wayne, did you want to wrap up real quick?
Yeah, essentially, we provided the board the full CoStar printouts of all of our land sales. We've gone over our land sales, the six land sales that support a lower value, and that concludes our presentation.
Okay. Mary, you want to go ahead and give yours?
Sure. So the January 1st, 2022 assessed value for parcel number 7313902 is the hearing we're on at the moment. I'm assuming. I just wanted to double check that.
Yes.
For the county records, this property sold along with a property identified as 73139-024 and 73139-013 in an arm's length transaction for on September 23rd of 2019 for $1,200,000. Total acreage sold at that time was 1.15 acres, which represents a sales price overall for $18.24 a square foot. The I'll skip the, well, we've got the map, map on page A2. This parcel sits on a roundabout south of SR-14, and it's the, if you look at the map, it is the quarter parcel labeled as the subject, and it, that sale took place with the long rectangular piece to the south, as well as the piece dash 024, which is directly west of the subject. So those three pieces sold together at the time. We have more than the $18.24 a square foot allocated to the quarter parcel, as it has the best visibility, accessibility, et cetera. So it is valued slightly above the sale price. I will skip the most of the written on pages A3 through A5 unless the board has any questions on sort of the USPAP compliance of the report. So if you go turn to page A7, you'll see that we're representing the subject, which as they did not appeal all three parcels from the sale. Pivotal appealed just the quarter parcel, which has the higher value, dollar per square foot, as it is a quarter parcel. You'll see that prompt number one is the sale of the subject with the total size of all three parcels combined. And representing a sales price of $18.24 a square foot. We have three other prompts that were in the best representation as comparable properties to the subject as comparables number 2, 3, and 4. Comparable number, wrong page. The map that is in your pocket was mislabeled. The map is on page A9. And on the map, what is represented as comparable 2 is really comparable number 3. And what is represented as comparable number 3 is really comparable number 2. I apologize for that. They got reversed on our map. So the four comparables that we have given you range in size from just slightly over 1 acre to 1.78 acres. And the values indicated by the sales range from $18.24 a square foot to $37.08 per square foot. Again, comparable number one is the most recent sale of the subject. Comparable number two is furthest from the subject, but it has direct access to two major arterials like the subject does, and is very similar in exposure and traffic and access. So that sale has zoning and utility similar to the subject and represents $25.14 a square foot. Comparable number three, sort of looks, smells, and feels just like the subject property. It's actually sitting on a roundabout like the subject is. It's sold in the city of Camas, and it sold in December of 2021 at a price of $37.08 per square foot. Comparable number four is north of that on 192nd Avenue, again in the city of Camas. Similar zoning, access, utility, and represents a sales price of $34.06 per square foot. So that being said, the sales certainly support the assessed value on the property and are pretty well represented. I don't know whether you want me to go through my rebuttal of the appellant's evidence or whether you want him to ask me questions first, how you want to proceed.
I want you to finish your presentation. So I guess if you want to rebut his sales, that's fine.
Sure. Okay. So in the appellant's report, on the appellant's report, the property zoning is different than stated. The actual property, the zone on this property is a highway commercial, though it's not necessarily a huge value change to that. I just am correcting the record.
Which property are you talking about?
The subject property.
No.
On Pivotal's report, it just misstates the zone.
Oh, I thought you said it was on sale number three, but it's the subject?
Subject property. The subject. So then on, moving on from the subject, I'm on Mr. Tannenbaum's properties. So his the appellant's sale number one was sold with a preliminary development packet in place on the parcel for a multifamily use at the time of sale, and has subsequently been developed in multifamily. Land sale number two is definitely inferior in utility, its exposure, its shape. It's kind of a triangular shape, which I think is represented on the CoStar listings. If you look far enough into comparable number two, you'll see that its utility is not going to be the same. Along with the differences already pointed out, there was a demolition that needed to be done on that property. When people buy bare land with the intent to demo a building, they're going to consider the cost of demolition on that building with their purchase price too. Land sale number three, which is currently a vacant pad site. So the parcel number identified as 198088 on Mr. Tannenbaum's report, that's land sale number three, has actually not been sold. There's no recording of that in our database anywhere. But the adjacent pad, which is directly south of the sale, sold June 10th of 2022 for $19.80 a square foot. So the sale that he has representing $14.69 a square foot, we looked all over. We couldn't find that sale recorded anywhere. I'm not sure where CoStar got it. Land sale number four is really inferior in the frontage and the utility, and it is well outside of the subject's market. That sale number four is located by Vancouver Mall, not in Camas. In fact, I don't believe we had Camas represented in any of the appellant's comparables. Land sale number 5, Imperial Utility frontage is not there like it is with the subject. According to CoStar and our records, it's sloping topography and has a substantial amount of low and wetland. So the amount of utility to the property may be considerably lower. Then land sale 6 has limited exposure and is located on Northeast 15th with access to Highway 99. And as an appraiser, Highway 99 is not comparable to what the subject property is. It's Hazelville and Camas are sort of two different birds. And so that's really what we have as far as the appellant's information. We feel that our sales are the most representative of what is out there and what the subject parcel would sell for if it was placed on the open market.
Mr. Tannenbaum?
Yes, we do have some rebuttal. The assessor office only has 3 land sales. We have 6 commercial land sales. And even after hearing rebuttal, I don't see anything majorly wrong with our land sales. I'll leave it up to the board to decide. All our land sales are from 2021. We even adjusted upwards for time, and they still support lower per square foot. So I'll leave it up to the board to look at our land sales and the appraisers and decide if there is a lower value for the subject property.
And your value at
Well, we're just looking at the subject property. They keep bringing up the sale, but the subject property, the one we're actually talking about today, the value is by the county is $524,590, and we have a value of $275,509.
Right, but what is it per square foot?
$11.09 is what we have. But we believe there's a fair range in between $11 and $21 that you might come to.
And how does that equate to the purchase price?
Oh, well, the purchase price was for multiple parcels, so to us it's irrelevant.
I'm sorry?
Well, this is just for one parcel, so I don't know. The purchase price was for multiple parcels, so it doesn't seem – we're just looking at one parcel versus other – one parcel land sales.
And that makes a difference in the cost?
Yes, because multiple parcels together might sell for more or less than an individual parcel.
Okay. Any questions for anybody?
No questions.
I don't have any questions.
I think we got it. All right, close that hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 10th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 178 for property ID 176-630-005. The property is owned by Columbia Tech Center, LLC. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have Mary Howells and Ben Rensnett present as the representatives for the assessor's office, and Wayne Tenenbaum present over the phone as the representative for the appellant. We also have Carrie Dudley present as a spectator. Everyone has already been sworn in for the day, so I will go ahead and pass back off to you folks.
Go ahead and tell us about this one.
Sure, and this is the PetSmart property, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I have the right one here. All right, give me 1 second here. All right. So this particular property is a pretty typical PetSmart property located at 130 Southeast 192nd Avenue in East Vancouver. Our page number 2 gives the subject property the current value, which I believe was increased in the prior year. But the current value in question is $2,733,200 or $144.86 a square foot. We do give a cost and sales approach, but we're just going to go over our sales comparison approach since this is a retail property and cost would be secondary weight, quite a bit secondary weight anyway. So I will go ahead and proceed to our following pages. On page number 3, The subject property, PetSmart, built in 2006, 18,868 square feet on 2.1 acres of land. The land and improvement breakdown of the county is given there, but it's really the overall value on the retail property we're looking at $144.86 per square foot, as the county has it. Following pages, the aerial subject, front views, inside view, until we get to our main approach on page. Let me just get the correct page number so I don't do it too wrong here. Page number 9, I believe, of our packet. What we have here is, I believe, 4 sales of retail properties. Subject is on for $144.86 a square foot. These 4 sales sold between $83 up to, rounded, up to $119 rounded per square foot. We had some, what seems to be minor building size adjustments, but more importantly, I believe that we thought there was definitely some major age adjustments, at least on one of them. In fact, if that building was built, sale 2 in 1923, I wouldn't consider that very comparable to the subject. So I think we should rely more on our sale 1, 3, and 4. These properties are given in the map on page 10. More importantly, the full printout of these retail sales are given on page 11 and beyond. Again, the first sale sold for what seems to be about $100 a square foot. Our second sale is the property. Well, that was built, but it was renovated in 2022, but that's after value date. So our sale 2, which is the 7-Up building, built in 1923, that's really not as comparable. And then we have 2 more sales. One sold for about $119 a square foot, and the other property seems to have sold for $118 rounded a square foot. Keeping in mind that we're over, I believe, total, the county value is about $145 for the subject rounded. So, again, we have what we consider to be 3 or 4 retail sales that are similar to the subject that do support lower in value based on the purchase prices of those sales. And that completes our presentation. Unless you want more. Well, I could go on if you want.
Well, I wasn't getting the same numbers that you were giving us. I can't figure out where we were getting.
Oh.
On page 9, I didn't see any of the numbers that you quoted.
I'm hoping it's the wrong thing.
What?
Well, our sales, is that on page 9? Maybe it's a different page number there.
Yeah. Sales comps. I scratched out sale number 2 that was built in 1923.
Yeah.
And what are the sales amount, I mean, the adjusted square footage? Is that what you were looking at?
Well, no, I was referring initially to what they actually sold for. In the grid, there is a price per square foot that they actually sold for before adjustment.
Right. Yeah, the bottom. Bottom 4 lines.
Okay. All right. So you're pretty close on this one, right? 2.8. You're 2.3 and there. 0.7.
It's not the bottom. I'm sorry. If you look at the sales comparables, the very bottom is after our adjustments. But if you look at the comparables on the, it's about the 6th line down. It says $/SF. So that's dollar per square foot. And that's what the sold for, what the subject is on for, and then what the sale 1, 2, 3, and 4 actually sold for per square foot.
Okay.
Got it. Okay, you're asking for 2.3 something. They got it valued at 2.7. Got it. Okay, got it. Go ahead, Mary.
Okay, So the subject building was built in 2006. It's 18,868 square feet. And we have it assessed for $144.86 a square foot. If you look at, I don't know what happened in my printing, so page two is page one. If you look at the aerial on page three, you'll see where the subject is sitting. It is facing 192nd Avenue. To the west of it, to the west of the subject is a Home Depot. And then south of the Home Depot is a Walmart there out in East County. It's a super popular area, very, very progressive at the moment. Lots of activity. I've got an exterior photo, subject map. If you go to page six, these are land sales for the comparable to the subject. I really want to put emphasis on comparables number three and comparables number four. They sold in that same complex we were just looking at the aerial of. And so in 2018 and 2012, so they are old sales, but they're brought up. We're not really trying to just defend the land value, but they sold years ago for double what we have it assessed for. And Lisa's going to ask me why we did that, but anyways, so on page seven, you will see screenshots. This is different than my typical format. This is someone else's report that I'm here representing. So, but you look at the screenshots and you'll see that we have counted, categorized this as a Class C average quality discount store. That is how it is in our system. The unit price, again, is a factor of some of the cost that we went through on the Excel spreadsheet. We are not valuing this on cost. This is sort of, these two screenshots are four-year information kind of thing on how we value them. If you go to pages, it's six or nine? Nine. Okay. Here's where we valued the parcel using the income approach. And we valued it as a discount store with a rent of $1.16, which I can give you an annual on that because Wayne's using annuals, which he's correct. We just don't have a system for that. So 1.16. So we're using $13.92 a square foot. We've given him a 10% vacancy in collection, 10% operating expenses, and we're using a 7.75 cap rate, which is going to be fairly generous for the market at the time. Behind the actual income approach are sales of comparable properties, and you'll notice the sales prices per square foot in the right-hand column, center of the page. The one on page 10 was $166.74 a square foot. The one on page 11 sold for $266.14 a square foot. Page 12 is actually a parcel that is in Salem, Oregon. Again, someone else's report. I would discount that a little bit. Then we have a very similar Rite Aid. I like comparable, the comparable on page 13, if you look at it, very similar to the subject, very similar in square footage. Same year built, same construction quality and class, and that one sold for $360 a square foot. And the CoStar is quoting a cap rate of 7%, which I'll take you back to our income approach where we use 7.75. So there's comparable properties in there. Like I said, I can answer any questions that you have. It's not my typical report format, but I believe this parcel was appealed last year and and the same report is coming forward. On the appellants, he already discussed the 1923 built parcel, so we're all on the same page with that one. Comparables number 3 and 4 are part of a portfolio sale, and it's 2 buildings on 3 parcels. Both buildings were built in 1985, and they are not as the same quality as the subject property. Take a look at the photos on those. The appellant's land sales, land sale number 1 is zoned for multifamily residential. So we're not considering that as being a comparable representative of the market. Land sale number 2 is inferior with its exposure and utility. It has a single family residence on it that we're sure will be most likely demoed, and there will be demo costs to add to that. And then land sale number 3 is inferior in its exposure and utility, similar in the size, but again, it is surrounded by residential and multifamily neighborhoods rather than out in the middle of a major shopping complex with Home Depot and Walmart in it and banks and things like that. So nothing like what's represented on 192nd Avenue. And that's what we have for that one.
Yeah, anything you
want
to add?
Oh, I have nothing further.
I'm sorry, I did mean to say one more thing. This building is sitting on leased ground, and we could not obtain any information on that lease, what they're paying for the ground lease on the property. I meant to mention that. Sorry about that.
Okay, I don't have any questions.
I don't have any.
Got it. Okay, close that hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 10th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 2 properties being reviewed together. The first is petition number 165 for property ID 160516000. And the second is case number 168 for property ID 162958000. Both properties are owned by JJHW LLC. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We do have Mary Howells and Ben Rinsnett present as representatives for the assessor's office. We have Wayne Tenenbaum present over the phone as the representative for the appellant. And we have Carrie Dudley present as a spectator. So for all of you folks that will be speaking today, since we have more cases with all of you coming up, we'll go ahead and have everybody that's going to be speaking go ahead and raise your right hand to be sworn in together.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in these hearings will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
I do.
Thank you. I've already given the speech about independence to Mr. Tenenbaum, so let's go ahead and hear about these two cases.
This is a economic unit, and hopefully you should have our packet of evidence there of a car dealership. I believe it's a Dodge type dealership. This property is located at 7110 Northeast 4th Plain Boulevard. There is a picture of the front view of the subject on our cover page. And on page number 2, we have the current value. And I don't mind if the appraiser interrupts me if we're incorrect about certain values, but I believe we have the values, which for this particular year, for both parcels combined as an economic unit, is $6,185,299. That's a total county value of $130.22. And unless I'm mistaken, that is up from the prior year value, which was a little over $5 million at $106.21. So that's quite a raise in value from year to year. But I understand the year in question is just this particular year, which has a value date, unless I'm wrong, of 1/1/22. We have a cost approach, and the good news is I don't think we need to go over why we mainly use the cost approach on dealerships. I believe the county also does. We can go over that in rebuttal if needed regarding why the sales and income is very difficult on dealerships, but I think we agree most likely both use the cost approach. This method. Sorry, go ahead.
The county agrees that with the cost approach also, it's not in contention.
Okay, thank you. That makes that easier. Our value on the cost versus, you can see on our second page, is $86.95, or $4,130,331. On page number three, some information about the subject. There's different parts of the subject that was built, I believe, in the 70s or so, and then there's different effective years we have. So on that particular page, in a sense, you can ignore that because we break down each section of year built and effective year in our cost approach. But this particular page, or page number three, we do give the total building square feet of 47,500 on 3.71 acres of land. And it is important on that page to notice the breakdown of the county's per square foot value on costs, which meaning the land value for the county is $12.29. Improvement value is $88.41 for a total per square foot of $130.22. Just some information on that page, some notes about using the cost approach for this property. On page four, that just gives the breakdown of the county's land and improvement value and total values for each of these parcels separately, so the board has that for reference. But again, at the top of page four is the total value of both parcels at $6,185,299 by the county. The following page is where the subject is located in general. We give some aerials of the subject. A front view of the subject, again, is on our cover page. One of the aerials, the last aerial picture here, shows you the two parcels together. One is the main building, and the rest is obviously overflow parking for customers, the cars needed to sell, et cetera. The following page you can see is, I think, a back view in a sense of the service garage. And then there's a picture in a sense of some of the service center and the front view, some of the showroom. But our main evidence is on page number 11, which is our cost approach. And on this page, we did break down each section of the square feet. We have year built, effective year, all the categories per Marshall and Swift that we have here. For example, the automotive showroom, the first section is 7,125 square feet. It has a year built in 1971, but that's somewhat irrelevant because we have an effective year of 2000. And the effective year is how we base the information on Marshall and Swift, the per square foot value. So the automotive service center also has an effective year, but of 1990, and the automotive repair garage is also 1990. The reason that is the case is the showroom is usually remodeled through the years and given more money than other areas of the subject, and we felt that a 2000 effective year for the showroom was appropriate. Now, the expected life, effective age, class, type, et cetera, this is a C average property. I don't see any way this is higher than a C average property, and that might be in dispute, and we'll go over that if needed. But the point being that per Marshall and Swift, a C average, for example, automotive showroom, if you look on the far right, it's at $106 a square foot. Then we include two multipliers, and by the way, these multipliers do not help us whatsoever. They actually, for example, the current multiplier is 1.24. It's 24% higher. The local multiplier is 1.11, which is 11% higher. So we had to calculate both those numbers, add it to the $106 a square foot. Then we minus the depreciation for Marshall and Swift of that section. And that's how we got our value, for example, our RCNLD, which is replacement cost new less depreciation, for example, the showroom at $662,732. So that is the standard we followed for all the sections, service center, repair garage, et cetera, including those multipliers, depreciation, to get our replacement cost new less depreciation. One thing to note is that not all counties even use both multipliers. So we've used both multipliers when certain counties throughout the nation do not use every multiplier. And that's probably going to be an issue in this case regarding maybe some other multipliers that the county uses that we do not. The point being on our information here, besides the replacement cost new less depreciation, we also include $500,000 for extra features, which is mainly the paving and lighting. And just so the board's aware, Marshall and Swift gives paving a life of only about 10 to 15 years total, which means that $500,000 to us is conservative, because the pavement is depreciated tremendously, only 10 to 15 year life for Marshall and Swift. Additionally, we had an entrepreneurial profit of 10%, which is an additional $400,000 to our value, approximately, as you can see on our cost page, which again on page number 11. Keeping in mind, if there was ever a property, entrepreneurial profit, usually when you flip a property or you lease out a property, that's where you get your profit. The car dealerships are tremendously owner-occupied, and I'm not sure where the entrepreneurial profit would be if you're not flipping a property or leasing it out. But either way, we conservatively put that in there to get a total replacement cost new less depreciation, or RCNLD, of $2,721,889. Now, keeping in mind, that number is just for the improvement. So the board is aware the county's improvements currently for this property are $4,199,000 rounded. So approximately $4,200,000, and we are rounded $2,700,000. So you can see that we're quite a bit of difference lower on our overall improvement value, even though we've included multipliers and entrepreneurial profit. Now, a separate part of the cost purge, of course, is the land. We are also at a lower land value. But again, it's obviously up to the board to decide on the overall cost approach to adjust neither, if you want, neither the land or the improvements keep the same, or possibly adjust maybe the improvements lower, keep the land the same, or vice versa. It's obviously, there's two parts of the cost approach, but then an overall value, obviously, given. So the board's aware, starting on page number 12, this is the Marshall and Swift pages that we use to determine our values. So you can look at, for example, on the page 12 right there is Automotive Service Center. If you look at the average across, it starts at $79.50, and that's what we use before the multipliers, of course. So those are the per square foot values of the for the subject, and then we also include life expectancy guidelines and depreciation tables if you want to go over depreciation, how we arrived at that. And we have the current cost multiplier and local multiplier. These are all pages from Marshall and Swift, and that is regarding our improvement value, which is quite a bit lower than the county. Regarding separately, in a sense, the land sales and our land value, it's on page number 18. I wish we had more than three land sales, but on this particular case, we have three land sales of commercial properties that do support a lower value per square foot. Those land sales are given on page 19 as far as location. And then starting on page 20 and beyond is a full CoStar printout of the three land sales that we provided. So based on an overall cost approach, based on lower improvements, mainly is our main contention, and also possibly based on lower land value, we have an overall lower cost value than the county, and that concludes our presentation.
Okay. Mary, go ahead.
Okay, so you have my report. I have two reports on this property because I separated out the parcels. I don't think it's substantive because the land parcel is valued exactly the same dollar per square foot of land as is the improved parcel. So combine them or separate them. I won't bother with the second report other than to just do the final value on it. But they're the same dollars per square foot, essentially. Same comparables used for them. The subject property, we physically went out. There were three commercial appraisers from our department who were allowed access to all of the improvements on this property. We measured every inch of it. I'll stand behind, unless they've made an addition or taken something down they didn't tell me about. I stand behind every square foot we have on here. The overall square footage is 48,330 square feet. The appellant says 47,500. You'll find between Mr. Tannenbaum's cost approach and the assessor's office cost approach, huge discrepancies in breakout between the components of the building. So the assessor's office has the showroom area as 27,010 square feet, for example, and I believe the appellant has it as 7,125 square feet. That's a huge discrepancy in the cost for this building. We have several office spaces that we measured while we were in the building, and those office spaces were, one of the offices was 1,024 square feet on the second floor of the building, and the other office on the main floor of the building was 1,224 square feet. The appellant has no office breakout in his cost approach of this structure. The remainder of the square footage is in the garage, the detail center, and the public space for the dealership. The site size of the improved parcel is 2 acres, with the site size of the adjacent parcel to the south as 2.06 acres. If you look at page 2 of my report, you'll see that the subject property, and we've also highlighted the parcel to the south, they lay just above Fourth Plain Boulevard and adjacent to Andreessen Road, south of SR 500. The exposure to this property is considerable. Almost anybody in the county that's driven around would be able to find Dicanna's Truck Center with, you know, off the top of their head, because they've driven by it 3 or 4 times, right? Traffic counts in 2022 on Andreessen were 34,434 cars per day. And on that section of Mill Plain, 20,289 cars per day. The, in 2018, SR 500 was, that's 4 years ago, is what I could find, 64,600 plus cars a day driving by that corner. So the visibility of this piece of property is substantial. I'm going to find a, you flip ahead, you can look at all the photos. You can see by the photos of the showroom and Mr. Tannenbaum's photos of the showroom, that does not all fit in 7,000 square feet. So the showroom is substantial. Page A7 will show you a reception area, but behind that, some office area, the office breakout through the building. Page A8 is the detail center and the garage. And there's some more general information on the property. I'm going to skip through 13. 11, 12, and 13, though I do want to mention, as I did on A12, that we have looked through all of the materials that have been provided on this parcel for the 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, and the 2022 appeals on this property, and still do not find anything relevant that would indicate a lower value. I do want to address Mr. Tannenbaum stated, talked about the increase in value that happened on this parcel in 2022. That increase is substantial, and it's because 2021's value was adjudicated by the board, and we lowered that value according to the board, and we brought it back the next year after we filed with the state. So that's where you're seeing the big increase. It's not necessarily a market increase, but that is an administrative increase. Page A15.
Let me stop you for a moment.
Sure.
Which value do you have? Which value is the value for last year? Is it,
Mr.
Is it after BTA? Is it after BTA or before BTA?
That is from the, that's the local board's adjudication. We're hearing the BTA on that in February, I believe. So the, what you're seeing is that us bringing back, so the value was lowered for 2021. We filed to the state. It's sitting out there, but we brought it back for 2022, and the state hearing will take place in February for, I think, for 19, 20, and 21. For, they're doing all 3 years at once, so hopefully we'll be more caught up on that one. So if you look at my page A15 and my page A18, we have Mr. Tannenbaum's comparable land sales are all up in Hazeldale, all three of them. Well, the parcel directly south of the subjects sold, the parcel directly east or west of the subjects sold, and those are my comparables number two and number three. Sort of like every appraiser's dream to have their land sell right there. Comparable number two is going to be a new Tesla garage service center. And they had to tear down substantial buildings after the sale. They have done that. That sale was a 3.02 acre sale. So it's a good size acreage. And it sold for $25.85 a square foot. And that is prior to them demoing all of the structures that were out there and the cost to do that. Comparable number three has to be talked about. It is smaller, but it actually was purchased by the appellant in June of 2021. So when Mr. Hanna bought that property, he paid $56.88 a square foot in June of 2021 for that parcel that is directly, I mean, it abuts our subject. Then we have two other comparables that are on Fourth Plain, and they have Fourth Plain frontage, similar size utility. They're just laying east of the subject a little over 4 miles, 4.5 miles, and those sales represent $15.96 per square foot to $23.37 per square foot. We feel very confident that our land value of $10.56 per square foot is quite well supported by the market, and not the market in Hazeldale. So if we move forward to the, you'll see the maps on A18 and A19. Those are our land sales. Then I want to go to, you can reference anything on A20 as far as Marshall & Smith's instructions on how to use their cost manual, how to correctly use their cost manual in order to do an effective cost approach on any improvements. We have a lot of square footage discrepancies. And again, I can't emphasize strongly enough that we measured that. There were three of us. We measured ceiling heights, perimeter walls. We were in there for hours getting every detail correct. So if you look at, I'm glad to see that Mr. Tannenbaum is now using the current cost modifier. So that's one step ahead. Thank you. We've got the two modifiers that you do use. We're agreeing on the class. This is an average quality C-class building. And our main discrepancies here are going to be the square footage breakout, the fact that the showroom is very, very substantial, that there is office build-out not accounted for. And then the differences in our cost approaches include things such as Marshall & Swift's instructions to add for refinements above and beyond the dollar per square foot given as a base unit price. Refinements cover things such as sprinklers, elevators, heating type, that sort of thing are not included in Marshall & Swift's base price. And you can see on the page prior to this where it instructs you that you have to add for the refinements. So the base plus refinements is shown in this spreadsheet here. And so basically with just the showroom, we go from $106 a square foot as the base with $2.66 for refinements. That total now is $108.66, and that becomes our new base price that we're working on. We've agreed the showroom here with the effective age, with the economic life. Where we differ is Mr. Tannenbaum doesn't use a perimeter multiplier. The more complex a building is, the more turns it has, the more juts and jags, the more expensive a building is to build. And to do a correct cost approach, we really have to account for the complexity of a building. Now, you'll see that this building is not very complex at all, which is why the multiplier is less than one. So they would expect with this type of square footage to have much more perimeter wall than what they do, because the exterior of the structure is a basic box. Then we have the wall height, which we've discussed over and over again. An 8-foot wall is much cheaper to build than a 20-foot wall. Marshall and Swift dictates that any showroom with their standard base rate is based on a 14-foot high wall. Well, the wall height on this particular structure is 20 feet, so we give it a wall height multiplier or a story height multiplier for the additional height built into the walls. Now, you can argue that the market may or may not give you that extra or take away that extra based on, you know, maybe Wayne will tell you I'm not going to pay more for a 20-foot wall height. Well, in actuality, people do. There's a reason that they built it that tall. There's a reason people like tall buildings. There's a reason that 8-foot tall ceilings in residential homes don't appeal to the buyer as much as 10-foot ceilings in a residential home. But it costs more to put in that 10-foot ceiling. So that's where the story multiplier is. We agree with the current cost multiplier, our modifier of the local cost modifier, bringing our costs to the total column on the right. Mr. Tannenbaum gives a $500,000 for extra features, pavement, asphalt, lighting. We have broken out the asphalt, and that is all that we're adding for quote-unquote extra features. Mr. Tannenbaum testified that that was asphalt and lighting, so I'm sure his value is actually quite considerably higher than ours on that. The local cost modifier differs for asphalt and yard improvements is what they're called. So that is why, based on the refinements, the perimeter multiplier, the story height multiplier, and the discrepancies in the breakout of this building is why the assessor's office has considerable more value than the appellant. We already talked about...
Can I stop you for a moment?
Sure.
On that schedule, are those compounded? Are you taking... For instance, the wall height multiplier, is that multiplied times the base price or times the accumulated price of all the other things added to it?
The multipliers are all compounded all the way down the line. So if you took the base plus refinements, the 108.66, and multiplied it by the 27,000 plus square feet, then we would multiply by 0.65, by 0.907, by 1.133, 1.24, 1.1, and you would come up with the value. So it's not like the income approach where it's pulled out of each, you know, where you know, each section, but this is a linear, and that's how Marshall and Swift dictates that you put this together.
So it's compounded. So you multiply one, and then you multiply the other one.
Right. All the way through.
That result. Army?
Yes, all the way through from the beginning to the end. There's no separate breakouts. No subtraction.
How do you know which one's supposed to be compounded first?
It doesn't matter. It's multiplication. You can multiply
it
in order and come up
it
with
doesn't.
A number.
It does matter because if you do it in one order, it's going to be a different answer than if you do it in a different order. Because if you multiply 1.24 times a base number versus a number that's got just two things added to it. But what about the other things when you're multiplying?
Sorry, just thought I put in my 2 cents. That is correct.
What's correct?
The assumption that it is true. It depends what you start with. If it's compounded, it does matter. You're right.
No.
So, and it dictates that you're supposed to use them in this order?
Not in that order, but 1 times 2 times 3 equals what 3 times 1 times 2 equals. It does what 2 times 3 times 1 equals. If you are multiplying and not adding and subtracting in the middle, You can take any of these numbers and multiply them in any order you want, and you will come out with the same number. Multiplication,
well,
in any order.
Just so the board is aware, that's not even going to be the main issue of this case. So when it's our turn for rebuttal, I promise you that won't be the main issue.
Go ahead. You have anything else to add to this?
Let me see. Okay, so we talked about we're agreeing on the cost approach, so I don't need to go through the rhetoric on that and my explanation on that one. So I think I just want to make sure my second report is does not have anything different that I need to talk about. So, nope, I think I'm good. Yep.
All right, go ahead, Mr. Canavo.
Thank you. I mean, we can talk about multiplication, trying to figure out what multipliers do and this and that and the order of them, but one of the issues, and it's not really going to be the issue of this case, usually it is an issue adding extra multipliers, but that would just complicate this issue. But I would like to say something, that the way that this was presented as if the county thinks they're doing everything perfectly now, when, by the way, in the past there were issues, I understand they resolved some of the issues to do a better job of their cost approach. First thing I want to say is 90% of counties, first of all, we have over 700 dealerships now, I believe, throughout the nation, and I've been doing this over 10 years, that we represent now. And the reason is because we specifically try to explain to counties how to value things fairly on the cost approach for dealerships. And I can tell you that over 90% of the counties we deal with only use one or two multipliers. They don't use the perimeter and height multipliers because that's mainly for, and it came across as, and this is how it's determined by Marshall Swift, that you have to use these. Of course you don't. That's their suggestion of, here's multipliers if you want to use them, to use it. And so why do 90% of counties on dealerships not use more than one or two multipliers? Exactly, because 90% are correct. In other words, certain buildings, whether there's a clear height for, you know, industrial buildings for the dock high doors, and there's certain aspects that obviously it comes into play. But people don't buy dealership buildings based on, oh, it's a little bit higher than the other one, or there's a perimeter that's a little better than the other one. That's not how they're bought and sold. Now, using the current cost multiplier and the local multiplier, you know, those are pretty standard multipliers, which we have included. But the reason why I'm not going to sit here and try to argue against every multiplier in the world right now, even though most counties completely disagree with this county, is the fact that there's one big issue. And after fixing things and having supposedly three appraisers at this dealership and measuring every section, it's amazing to me that they still don't know what a service center is. I'd like to refer you back to our page 12. Our page 12 in our packet, the first section in the Marshall Swift pages regarding automobile dealerships is automotive service center. The second section on that same page is showroom. The third section, which we have on the following page, is service repair garage. In the name is what it is. A service repair garage is a garage where service repair is done. The repairs are done. They take care of they fix the, obviously, the cars. A showroom is literally in the name, showroom. And the showroom is usually always the smallest part of dealerships. What the county is trying to tell you, and by the way, this is what's really important. If you look on that first page, a difference of C average on a automotive service center, which is 7950 C average, and a C average showroom is 106. It's almost 30, it's $26 difference per square foot. Every per square foot difference makes a huge difference in value. So what the county's saying is the word showroom includes the waiting rooms, the parts department, parts warehouses, any other warehouses, the restrooms, the hallways, the waiting rooms, the cubicles, the offices, and I can go on. I'm missing a few there. In other words, the service center is a huge part of a dealership, a huge part. The retail areas, whatever it is,
different waiting areas, and I can go on. I know I'm missing a few. The point is that that's nowhere to be found. I can go over those areas and say parts showroom. Doesn't that sound like different areas? Bathroom, part of a showroom? It's amazing to me. That's where they spend the money. That's why there's so much more per square foot. There's about a 20,000 square feet difference between our showroom size and the county's. And then they just have a service garage. So they're basically just saying that basically there's a showroom and then they fix cars. But all those other areas I mentioned is magically not there. And by the way, when it comes to service center and servicing people, that also includes cubicles and offices, because the showroom is where they spend the money. The showroom is why it's $106 per square foot on Marsh & Swift and not $79.50. So 20,000 square feet of the entire middle of the dealership is magically not there from the county. So what you could take is that extra 20,000, even if you said, okay, the extra 20,000 is not service garage, but it's service center, and then minus about $25 per square foot, you're looking at about a $500,000 difference on improvements. Now, we're well over a million and a half less on improvements, and some of that might have to do with the multipliers and other factors. But I'm going to base this case simply on the fact that they absolutely 100%, given all our experience, and I just told you how many dealerships over the years now we deal with, that they have taken that $106 price per square foot and added it to the service center area, and that is incorrect. And that's about 20,000 square feet. It should have been $79.50 a square foot. So overall, that $500,000 should definitely be lowered on improvements based on that factor. And I really can't wait for the BTA on this one, because I see how they're going to explain that there for that case. But anyway, that completes our presentation. Hopefully you're lower on improvements. I do think that on land, we have some comps. They have comps. That is going to be difficult to prove a lower land value. But overall, on the cost basis, especially getting the area correct per square foot, never mind multipliers, will lower the value about $500,000 or more in improvements. That's all we have.
I have a question for a couple statements, if it's okay. So first of all, Mr. Tannenbaum, have you been in this building?
Well, I'm sure somebody from our company has. So you're saying there's no service center in this building? That's what you're saying?
I have plenty of service in this building. I have plenty of service.
I can see by your pictures that it's a very narrow showroom, actually.
No, the showroom is huge. So I promise the square footage is on this, correct? You represent...
So what's your service center? Where are your bathrooms? Where are your hallways? Where are your parts? Where are your parts from? Where's the retail? Where's all that? That's including the showroom? Because the name showroom doesn't equate to that, does it?
Hey, the bathrooms are in the office. And it's in the office.
Right? Okay, so the offices and the cubicles, oh, they're inside of an office, the bathrooms, and there's no hallways, nothing?
Wayne, the upstairs, if you've been in the building, the upstairs is built out like an office building. It has a lunchroom and office, it's not cubicle.
And then all that stuff, lunchroom, all that, is part of the service center. You believe it's part of a showroom. It doesn't make sense. Are they showing cars in the bathroom?
So while you have your hundreds of dealerships that you represent, we are 100% at the state of FDA. We have yet to lose one of these cases. And I'm telling you that we have the building
broken. You lost all the cases at the county. Isn't that correct? You lost most of these cases at the county. It's impossible to win at the state. You know that. So please.
Oh, we've won them all at the state, Wayne. Of course we have.
I know you have, because it's almost impossible to win. But haven't you lost the majority at the county level? Yes, you have.
That's fine. It comes back at the state.
They're impossible to win. You know that.
The square footage is correct. Our breakout is correct. We have been in the building. We had three appraisals.
Not correct. Period.
Wayne, just give me a minute to speak, and then you can yell at me all you want. Market, when we talk about market, as an appraiser, we need to keep separate that the market has nothing to do with the cost approach. We cannot mix and match these approaches. If we agree to the cost approach, we agree to the cost approach. What other counties do, or their lack of sophistication, or maybe their machines can't hold all the information, has no bearing to do with how Clark County does it. We've given the documentation for how Marshall Swift recommends we do it. We do it the correct manner. You can multiply those numbers however you like, and the breakout is correct. Mr. Tannenbaum hasn't been in the building, and he's testifying to something that he is not 100% up to speed on. That's it for me.
I don't have any questions.
Mr. Tannenbaum, anything else?
We have nothing further.
Okay.
I'm okay. I'm all right. Information.
Yeah. Close that hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 10th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 166 for property ID 162956000. The property is owned by JJHW LLC. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have Mary Howells and Ben Rancinet present for the assessor's office, and we have Wayne Tenenbaum present over the phone for the appellant as their representative. We also have Carrie Dudley present as a spectator. Everyone has already been sworn in for the day, so I will go ahead and hand it back over to you folks.
All right, go ahead and tell us about this one.
I will. And I just want to say on the record, because I said something about it being impossible to win at the state level. That is absolutely not true on the record. We've won our fair share over the years with different counties. I'm not sure about Clark County, but we have won at the state. It's few and far between at times, but just so that's on the record, that it is, you're right, it is not impossible to win at the state level as an appellant or as a defendant, either way. But I will go ahead and proceed on this case. This is a property located at 7118 Northeast 4th Plain Boulevard in Vancouver, parcel 162956000. On page number 2, information on the subject, that does not seem to be increased from the prior year. It seems to be the same value of $468,667.96 a square foot. In the sales comparison approach we used on this, we have a value of $106.20 a square foot. This property was built in 1971, but it is effective year we have is 2000. It's a smaller building, 2,790 square feet, 0.42 acres, less than a half acre of land. And the county's breakdown on land price per square foot and improvements is given on this page 3. And the total value, which is $167.96 a square foot. Following pages where the subject is located in general, with some aerial photographs, and there's some front views and side views of the subject. The property is generally an office-type building. I forgot to mention that. That's obviously important. And that's what we have as our sales, is office properties. On page number 9, we have 4 sales of office properties. Again, the subject, which we have here, again, keeping in mind in all fairness that I'm just trying to see that I'm looking here to see the subject is built in 1971, but it does have a newer effective age. I do understand that. Our comparables here were built between 1960 and 1990. So a good range as far as, and a couple built in the 1980s. So a good range as far as some being built before and after the subject property. They're all office properties. The subject, again, is on for $167.96 a square foot. It does look like the first property here, our sale, does seem quite low, so there's probably an issue with that. I do understand that. $34.47 seems too low. But we have 3 other offices here that sold between $117 rounded a square foot up to $154 rounded a square foot. Again, keeping in mind, we're on for $168 a square foot. So our sales 2 through 4 do seem to be in line. They are a little bit larger than the subject. And in general, we did adjust for that. We adjusted upwards for those comparables. They're a little larger. There's some adjustments for age. But in general, those are subjective adjustments, and they weren't large adjustments. So before and after adjustments, we have office properties selling for less per square foot than the subject property. And those are given on the following page, let me just get to that here, of the subject on page number 10. We just give a general with a star where the subject is located and where our 3 office sales are located. Starting on page 11 is a full printout of those sales. Again, I even see that sale one seems to be very low. It doesn't seem to be in line with what would make sense. So I think we'll stick more to our sale two, three, and four, which do seem like nice office properties that sold for less per square foot than the subject and a fair amount less per square foot than the subject. And those three full CoStar printouts, again, or all of them, all of our sales start on page number 11 and beyond. They all have pictures of the comparables, which seem to be nice office properties. Subject is a nice office property. And again, they sold for less per square foot. And based on those sales, that supports a lower value for the subject. And that completes our presentation.
Okay. Harry?
All right. But we agree on the size and the effective age of this structure at 2,790 square feet with an effective age of 2,000. The parcel has not been sold. I won't go back over page 2 and page 3. Traffic counts were still, we're just south of where the truck center was, so it's all relevant. We went out and physically inspected the subject property, and you'll see from our photographs what the interior build-out looks like. Pages 6, 7, 9, 11, I'm looking all the way through there. Those are really just use PAPS compliance for the state so that we're ready. The land sales, I think we've already really been through enough land sales right here where this particular subject is, that it'll be, I hate to take the board's time and rehash what we've already hashed. We'll get to some of the more important things, but our sizes, our land sales basically represent or came in with a market at, I don't want to misquote. I'm looking at where it's written. Sorry about that. I have to do it off the other sheet. 1196 to 4262 a square foot. I'm not sure that I'm with Wayne. The 4262 is probably a pretty cool parcel. But again, it has no plain frontage. Let's go quick. The cost approach is not, was not what we placed our most emphasis on. You'll see our cost approach on page 18 of the report. And we, it's just there as a, for support for the assessed value. And then page 19, we talk about how the income approach was strongly considered with this appraisal report and given the most weight in this appraisal. The end result of that income approach is deemed to be the most reliable indication of the value for the subject property. We were not able to obtain any updated profit or loss statements or financial statements of any kind for this property in this appeal or any of the past appeals that we have. So what we've provided are some lease comparables on page 23, along with the photographs and other information on these leases. So essentially we look at what similar properties are leased, being leased for, quality, condition, exposure, that sort of thing. And we are finding, if you look at page 23, that our leases range from $1.10 a square foot to $2.38 a square foot. We took the lower end with the subject property and used $1.45 as our base rate for our income approach. You'll see pictures page, and on page 23, in the market, we're finding structures like this, all based on triple net leases, the leases that we've given you comparables, triple net being that the tenant pays all of the expenses. If you look at page 27, and I apologize for it being small, but that's the way it comes out of our machine. This is the income approach that was actually used to value the property. And I can't really enlarge it or it gets so blurry, it's unlegible. But you'll notice in here that we used $1.45 a square foot for the income on the property. And again, that was well supported with our lease examples that we gave you. We, with a true triple net lease, you would use probably a market 5 for vacancy, 5% for vacancy and collection, 5% for expenses, and then you would have the tenant paying the taxes on a true triple net lease. We were fairly generous on this one. We used 5% vacancy and collection. We used 10% for expenses, which is about double the norm for a triple net lease. And then we also gave them taxes at that you'll see in the very second to last column. On a true triple net lease, like our comparables were, you would the tenant would pay taxes. So running an income approach on the subject, we come up with a market value of $468,609, which you see on page 27. And the income approach was our primary consideration for valuing the parcel. If you go to page 29, you'll see improved comparables in a spreadsheet, along with page 30, which has the pictures of these comparables. I think you'll find them to be similar quality, similar ages, reasonable square footage to bracket the subject. And we get sales prices from the market here from a low of $311.69 a square foot to a high of $688 a square foot. Seems really high for Clark County, but these are small buildings, so they often carry a higher dollar per square foot in the basic utility. Our subject, though, is way down below the market at $168 a square foot. It is simply easily supported by the market. The market indicates we're very low, and we were generous with our income approach. So I think, without getting into too much more reading that you can read for yourself the documentation on it, that is our basic case on this building. We're low.
A question. On your page 12, it says that the purchase date was 1/1/22. Is that correct?
No, that is the assessment date.
What?
So for the subject, we're looking at an assessment date of January 1st of 2022. It's not a sale, it's an assessment date. Just for the subject. Should I go on with my rebuttal for Mr. Tannenbaum's, or do you want him to go first?
Go ahead.
Okay, so with the appellant's appraisal, their comparable number one, when it sold on March 16th of 2022, it was a non-arm's length transaction. There was no exposure to the market, no agents involved in this sale. It was added in CoStar for information, but the sales price wasn't disclosed in the listing. And so we're not considering that sale all that reliable. It's also noted that comparable one sold again on May 16th of 2022. So we are talking exactly 2 months later to Keystone LLC for $375,000, which equates to $134.41 per square foot. So, but that sale wasn't mentioned, just the one 2 months prior. Comparable number two is considerably larger than the subject, and improvement size and site size. So we have, county records have that building is 6,907 square feet, but the sale would have been for $144.78 a square foot. Well, it was reported in the appellant's report at 6,489 square feet, so it's a little confusing. CoStar mentions a lot of deferred maintenance with that building, which the subject parcel does not have a lot of deferred maintenance as of the last inspection. Making it quick, comparable number three was definitely a non-arm's length transaction. The property was never exposed to the market. No brokers were involved with the transfer, and it was a corporate transfer from Richardson to Anderson and Richardson. So when you look it up, it's pretty clear that one's not open market. And then sale number four is a pretty old sale, and it is considerably larger than the subject and inferior to exposure and traffic. And that's what we have.
Okay, Mr. Tannenbaum.
Okay.
Oh, yes, I'm still here. I just had a couple of comments. I think maybe one of their sales is retail, et cetera. I'm not really sure if more than one is retail. All I know is that we have three good office sales that sold for much less. They have office sales of a few that sold for more, and hopefully the board will look at the sales. I think their lease comps are too far away. When it comes to lease comps, you want pretty similar ones that are nearby. And I don't think we could find any nearby, neither could the county. So hopefully look at both of our sales and decide if a lower value is needed. That's all we have.
Okay. Any questions, Lisa?
No.
Have any questions.
Nope.
All right. Close that hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 10th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 167 for property ID 162957000. The property is owned by JJHW LLC. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have Mary Howells and Ben Ransnett present as representatives for the assessor's office, and Wayne Tannenbaum present over the phone as the representative for the appellant. Everyone has already been sworn in today, and we also have Carrie Dudley present as a spectator. So with that, I'll go ahead and hand it back over.
Okay, go ahead and tell us about this one, Mr. Tannenbaum.
Sure. Let me just get this together. This is a lower value type property, and I believe this particular property, in general, I'm sorry, is a very small type retail establishment. I'm not sure if currently or as of the date of valuation what was there, if anything, but maybe the appraiser could inform you when it's their turn. But I think we're mainly looking either way at the income approach on the retail property for this subject. But you can see on our page two, we do have both the cost and income, but again, I don't think the cost on a retail property is the best way to value this. The value by the county, $403,500. We have an income approach that's coming in at about $351,730. On our page three, this is a 1975 property that I don't think has been remodeled over the years to any extent, somewhat. So we did affect your 1980 building square feet, 1,535 square feet on 0.36 of an acre, or let me just see here. So it's a small land size. It's quite a bit less than half an acre. Just to go over this property, we give some aerials and some front view and some pictures of the property. And then on page number eight is our cost approach, but again, I'm not going to be going over that. I don't believe that's how retail properties are necessarily looked at as value. So I think it's just appropriate to go to our page number 30, which on our page 30, this is our income approach. we have an annual rent, which we'll go over in a second how we arrive at this, is $16.75. We use a 5% VNC or vacancy in collection, 10% expenses. Those are conservative numbers as far as we're concerned, and a base cap rate of 6.25. It gave us a value of $351,730. Now, as far as our lease rate, you can see that the six lease comps we use on our page 31, the asking rental rate was $1,694 to $1,669 per square foot. So that seems... that's in range. We use 1675, so right in that range. The comps we use, which are, start on page 33, I think we give a full printout of those from lease comps from CoStar. And as you can see by those, the first one, for example, has asking rent of $1,650 on the second one, $15 on the third, $18 on the I think the fourth one, and then $17. So I think we used the fair $16.75 in that range, especially given the year built and the subject. And again, based on those lease comps near the subject, I believe that in our income approach, that the value would be around $350,000, keeping in mind that the current value is $403,500. So we're not that far off. We're about $50,000 left overall on our income approach, and that concludes our presentation.
Okay. Mary?
Okay. So I'm going to make it fairly short and sweet. I think you'll see from our comparables that we did not put a ton of effort into this one. This parcel is assessed at $403,500. It sold June 28th of 2021 for $892,000. Wayne, your office put in a ton of work for a parcel that Mr. Hanna paid over double what the assessed value is for in the same year that you're appealing it. So we have $311 a square foot. It sold for $688 a square foot. We provided you two other comparables that are very, very close to the subject. We provided those sales. The sales are 416 a square foot and 614 a square foot. Again, everything considerably over the assessed value.
I have a question when you get a minute.
Sure. Go ahead.
Why would you not assess it at the sale value?
So these parcels here are in cycle two. And so this particular parcel will be in our revaluation cycle this year. So we haven't physically redone the auto mall drive. And so it's not our policy to go in and find a sale and pump it up out of cycle because it takes the equity out of the equation. But it is going to be reassessed this year, and that's when you're going to see it pop up to the 800 or 900,000.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I don't really think I need to go on more about this one, unless there's more questions for me.
I don't have any.
No questions.
No. Anything else, Mr. Canabob?
Well, when are they claiming the sale happened? What was the month and year?
It was June 28th, 2021, and it is, I'll give you the excise numbers in my evidence if you want to look at the excise. Wendy Pruitt sold it to JJHW for $892,000.
Do you have the full deed in there and everything?
Yep, the excise tax affidavit is in there. I did not print out the entire deed.
Okay. Well, I don't have anything to say in the sense that I'm not sure why we didn't have that. Maybe there's something to do with that sale, but honestly, I don't know anything about it. So,
yeah. Well, I more can say. I sent your office two or three emails pointing it out, hoping that we could just, you know.
I wish we would have noticed that then. So I don't know what else to say.
Okay. Moving on to 178.
Is that one good, Dan?
Close that hearing.